This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at VMware. Let's be honest, the past year has been far from easy due to, well, everything. Caused us to rush cloud migrations and digital transformation, which of course means long hours refactoring your apps, surprises on your cloud bill, misconfigurations, and headaches for everyone trying to manage disparate and fractured cloud environments. VMware has an answer for this. With VMware's multi-cloud solutions, organizations have the choice, speed, and control to migrate and optimize applications seamlessly without recoding, take the fastest path to modern infrastructure, and operate consistently across the data center, the edge, and any cloud. I urge you to take a look at vmware.com/go/multi-cloud. You know my opinions on multi-cloud by now, but there's a lot of stuff in here that works on any cloud. But don't take it from me. That's vmware.com/go/multi-cloud, all one word. And my thanks to them again for their sponsorship of my ridiculous nonsense. The actual next million cloud customers. Everyone says that the next million cloud customers are coming from enterprise IT. It's the narrative that all of the major cloud platforms have been saying for a while, to the point that I started accepting it uncritically. I even wrote about those next million enterprise IT customers on the Last Week in AWS blog. Oof. No, that is not how any of this works. My job is to think critically about the things everyone says and to rebut them. My apologies. I will do better. Let's be clear. There's a huge market of enterprises who have still to migrate to the cloud. The trouble is that it's an inherently limited market in many ways. A company founded today that grows to become a giant enterprise is likely going to have its technology stack built inside of a cloud provider's environment, not in a data center it owns. This is a trend that's only going to continue. Throughout most of the industry, there's already a shift away from needing justifications to use public cloud to instead requiring justifications not to. So where does this enterprise customer of the future leave AWS? As AWS continues doing its thing of launching purpose-built managed database offerings, it only makes this harder. Today, AWS's product page lists a dozen different databases from which customers can choose. As those offerings continue to expand, what happens when there are 30 or 40 of them? Someone setting out to build a new application on top of AWS is going to have any number of skills that they bring to the problem, but disambiguating between a bunch of AWS services that all kind of look the same is extremely unlikely to be one of them. AWS has to keep an eye toward future and growing trends. It should be stimulating more applications to be built on AWS. Pure infrastructure plays will no longer be enough. So let's play out a completely random example. Let's assume that AWS has internal data that demonstrates its offering is super effective at letting customers build out email newsletter creation and delivery systems. Today, AWS talks about how Amazon SES is used to send email, and Amazon Pinpoint is an outbound and inbound marketing communications service. Those are necessary parts of the bits that send email. But customers looking to build the next ConvertKit or Substack or Review aren't going to care about those things. They'll need services that help them build out the website that lets customers manage their subscriber lists and information. They'll need help building something from the ground up that complies with GDPR and other similar regulations. Most notably, they'll need insight from a company that specializes in this space to figure out what challenges they're likely to have as they find success and scale out. Those insights are easy to address early on in the planning stages. They're way harder to apply once you've got a working product in customer hands. This episode is sponsored in part by you, Gabyte. Distributed technologies like Kubernetes are great, citation very much needed, because they make it easier to have resilient, scalable systems. SQL databases haven't kept pace, though. Certainly not like NoSQL databases have, like Route 53, the world's greatest database. We're still, other than that, using legacy, monolithic databases that require ever-growing instances of compute. Sometimes we'll try and bolt them together to make them more resilient and scalable, but let's be honest, it never works out well. Consider Yugabyte DB. It's a distributed SQL database that solves basically all of this. It is 100% open source, and there's no asterisk next to the open on that one. And it's designed to be resilient and scalable out of the box, so you don't have to shard yourself to death. It's compatible with PostgreSQL, or PostgreSQL, as I insist on pronouncing it, so you can use it right away without having to learn a whole new language and refactor everything. And you can distribute it wherever your applications take you, from across availability zones to other regions or even other cloud providers, should one of those happen to exist. Go to yugabyte.com. That's YUGABYTE.com. And try their free beta of Yugabyte Cloud, where they host and manage it for you. Or see what the open source project looks like. It's effortless distributed SQL for global apps. My thanks to you, Gabyte, for sponsoring this episode. Now, how could AWS actually empower future enterprise customers? Today, AWS's investments in startups with ideas like these look a lot like a pile of free credits and an account manager who has the shockingly broad remit of startups. What would an actual AWS investment in a customer profile like this represent? As I see the industry, it would look more like connections to AWS customers in orthogonal spaces who can speak to some of the market's complexities, an articulation of which services solve which problems for a company like the one the customer is building, and introductions to their first 10 likely customers. Systems would have to be built up to support this kind of insight, and AWS would have to face some hard truths about the markets it's in versus the ones it only thinks it's in. The entire AWS sales and technical field teams would need to learn to have very different conversations with customers, but consider how unworkable the alternative is. If today's sales and marketing motions continue doing what they're doing, customers are going to continue to be barraged with features and service enhancements, a periodic partner recommendation that looks an awful lot like it might compete with what the customer is building, and a growing sense that AWS is and remains an infrastructure company instead of a company that builds services that empowers its customers, but can't quite articulate how it might do so. So is this possible? This isn't merely a story about theoretical email newsletter creation companies. This model would apply equally well to companies setting out to build CRMs, phone systems for customer sites, next-generation manufacturing floors, smart home appliances, and also much more. The tools to build these kinds of products and businesses already exist within AWS. The trouble is that the only people who truly understand how these tools all fit together to do that are the customers who've already built those things with them. AWS needs to understand its customers in new ways and get away from the current pattern of spinning up a Linux VM in EC2 requires at least basic awareness of a dozen distinct AWS services. AWS risks irrelevance if it ignores the actual next million cloud customers. The baseline reality is that customers are going to demand something that encapsulates all of the infrastructure building blocks and lower-level plumbing into something much higher level. If AWS doesn't give it to them, others absolutely will. The long-term threat here is that AWS becomes similar to one of today's large bandwidth providers like CenturyLink or NTT. Every company depends upon them, but few people are aware of them in any realistic sense. If this happens, then it turns out that customers' margin will, in fact, become some other company's opportunity.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.